I said, it's not a good idea to do that, which most people would say, I'm saying, don't do it. My kid did it anyway. And I'm like, did I not just tell you that wouldn't be a good idea? He said, but you didn't tell me no. You just said it wouldn't be a good idea. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's your offspring, dude. That's you. That's on you. I know.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to episode 354 of the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, almost afternoon, Donna.
I know. You know, the good news is, after all these years, we can juggle around and just record whenever we have to.
I know. We're doing old school today. We're recording on Friday morning.
Well, no, almost. Yeah.
Yeah. So just want to let everybody know, today we're going to be talking about how PriceSec requires everybody to be on the same team.
It sure does, David.
So if you ain't on the team, or if you know somebody who ain't on the team, you might want to get them to listen to this one. Speaking of being on the same team, guess what? We have a privacy and security boot camp coming up. PriceSec, get it?
Ba-dum-bump.
Yeah, 3.5 days in person. September 12, 13, 14, and 15. You can find out more at priceatbootcamp.com. And we still have some like partners that are wanting to jump in on this too.
Hey, we have got these partners that we always work with to provide all of the things that clients need for a robust privacy and security program, and bringing them in to help bring in instructors and new content, and it's going to be group discussions, a lot of interaction. We did a planning meeting last week about doing a lot of really cool interactive things, and it's not your mama's PriceSec boot camp. So that's right. Just like it wasn't your mama's HIPAA boot camp, but we are taking it to the next level, folks. Do not even think you understand what we're going to cover, because we're still trying to figure it out. But no.
Yeah.
We've got a great team that we're putting together. So I'm so excited. Every time we talk about it, I get more excited.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now we have to wait till September 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th to make it happen.
Yep. It'll be there before you know it. And we'll be also adding some of the speaker profiles to the website here shortly.
Our instructors.
We'll be adding the instructor profiles to our website shortly.
We want to make sure everybody understands this is not a conference. Right? So we don't have sponsors and speakers. We have partners and instructors.
Drill instructors.
Sir. Hey, ma'am, yes, ma'am. There
Did
you go.
Did you click on that link? Drop and give me 20.
So go check it out. We're finalizing the agenda. It's going to be out. It may be out on the website by the time this podcast is released.
Yep.
So check out PriceSecBootcamp.com. Thank you.
Yeah. Do I need to spell PriceSec? Can everybody do that?
Privacy and security is tricky.
Yeah. It is tricky because every time I type it, I'm not going to say, but there's a letter on my keyboard right beside the C that I always hit. Just messes it all up. And I have to be very careful not to hit enter because I don't know what's going to come up next. That's all I'll say.
I should have known.
Yeah. Cordy messing with me.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving right along.
That's right. Moving right along to our... let's see here. Do we have a 405D segment?
Yeah, we do.
Below. Okay. So let's jump in.
We also want to thank our donors and ask you to get out and review us and spread the word about the Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Yep.
Oh, and go check out our new branding.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what kind of crazy comments can come from.
You should have seen what we had. We should at some point publish some of the crazy pictures we made. But yeah. Anyway, Go check out our new branding. Let us know what you think, because we're trying to standardize everything across HIPAA for MSPs, Cardin, Help Me with HIPAA, and PriceSec Bootcamp.
Yep. So, and it's challenging.
Yeah, but we're making it happen, brother. We're making it happen.
All righty. You ready? Ready for the HIPAA?
Say what?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we are. There you go. So this is something that came up with a client recently. Not able to take you into the whole story. Just trust me that this is an important topic that everyone should remember. We'll just go with that. And, you know, it goes always to the, as we know, we take privacy and security seriously.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that, what most people think of is protecting confidentiality and stopping data breaches. That's it.
Okay.
But while that is definitely privacy and security, but HIPAA privacy and security and all, when you go into a formal privacy and security program, it's not just about confidentiality. Correct. It's about integrity and availability of the data as well as confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
So as I say and teach in my basic HIPAA courses, we have to protect the CIA of all the PHI that we cremate.
That's right.
There you go. So it is the confidentiality, integrity, and availability for all the data that we create, receive, maintain, and transmit. For all the PHI we create, and I could go, man, I should just expand that out. We have to protect the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of all the protected health information that we create, receive, maintain, and transmit. So much easier to say we protect the CIA of the PHI that we cremate. All right. So,
yeah.
So there are a lot of cases where this comes up where that assumption is, oh, well, there was no confidentiality broken. You know, that's the only debate. You have to have the other two debates. So whenever you're thinking about protections you need to have in place or whether a potential problem, violation, breach has occurred, you know, there's the data breach, which is somebody that shouldn't have had access to it has gotten access to it.
Right.
Then you have the availability of somebody that needs access to it can't get it. Mm-hmm. And then the integrity, well, you know, it's FUBARed.
Yeah.
Highly technical term.
That's the one I'm scared of. And I mentioned this before in a past episode that I'm afraid of the time when they start messing with the integrity of the data. And then you don't know if any of the health records are even accurate anymore. And then they're going to charge you to put them back the way they were.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Well, and that is a huge fear for all of us that, I mean, how do we handle it? Because, you know, a lot of them have logs and all of these kind of things. But if they've stolen credentials, how do you know which ones are the right ones and which ones are the wrong ones?
Yeah.
So let's don't scare us.
Or for all of you out there that are still using one user for your 8 employees.
Please don't do that.
I know who you are.
I'm not saying la, 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 la.
I'll give a perfect example. This is not a client. This is a prospect. So I can talk about them, even though I'm not going to tell you who they are. But they had a server and I don't know, 15 or so workstations. And I'm talking to them and they say, well, we don't have a server anymore. I'm like, well, oh, wait a minute. You can't just not have a server anymore. You have to change your environment. When that happens.
Yeah.
And so I said, what are you doing about all the users and the computers? Are you just putting everybody on every machine? And they said, no, the other old IT guy, he just put one user account on everything and we just all use that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But he knew HIPAA. Oh, he knew HIPAA. He told him. Mm-hmm. He told him he knew HIPAA. Probably even had a seal on his website. Who knows? But
there you go. So when you are working with your data, you need to think of 3 things of what detection you will find if it, you know, how you will detect if this fails and how you will recover, you know, identify, protect, detect, respond, recover.
That sounds familiar.
Or
I, Peter.
There you go. So that being said, what you want to think about, you think about the data. What happens if someone should have this information that should not have this information gets a hold of it? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's just simple. What if this was made public? Right? What if we can no longer trust the information in the record is valid and accurate? That's the scary one in healthcare, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens if we can never get access to this information again? So whatever you do, if you're evaluating that and the answer creates stress, those are the ones you need to deal with. Okay, there you go.
What happens if you never get access again? I don't know. What happens, Consuela?
Welcome to Mexico. I am here to serve you.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've known some MSPs that have done that. Mm-hmm. Or doctor's offices as well. Sorry. Shutting down.
Yeah. Peace out.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect segue to our
405D tip of the week.
Boom. It just so happens that we're on best practice number 3, which is access management.
How about that?
Fortuitous. There's my dollar word in a 50-cent sentence. You're welcome.
Now I got to Google that now.
So you want to hit this one? Knock it out real quick. And by the way, on all these, we have the link to this really cool poster that's got a prescription bottle on it, and it says, here's your prescription for this, and it's really cute. Go get it. It's got a healthcare theme, and it's kind of fun. But what we're telling you is on these posters on the 405DHHS.gov website in the documents. So proceed, yeah. David.
All right. So we're talking about access management, not asset management. We'll get to that one. Because I always, like, as I'm flying through them, sometimes I get them mixed up. So, but you definitely have to be able to look at and be able to understand all the identity of your users, have audit trails in place, monitor each user's access to data, applications, systems, endpoints. We talked about endpoints last week. And, you know, just like you use a name badge to identify yourself in a physical environment, with cybersecurity access management, then you have to do the same thing in a digital environment. And so we have 3 things for small organizations and then 3 for medium and large.
Mm-hmm.
So they are. I'll start with small. I'll let you do medium and large.
Okay.
So with small, number 1, establish a unique account for each user. So we just talked about doing that. Make sure you train the people. Remind them to never share their passwords.
Please.
I'm sorry, Jenny. If you can't get logged in, you'll not use mine. Number 2, limit the use of shared and generic accounts. So if you have shared accounts, if you have to have them, then you need to train and regularly remind people that they must sign out upon completion of the activity or whenever they leave the device, even for a moment. And then number 3, implement MFA, multi-factor authentication, for cloud-based systems that your organization uses to store or process sensitive data, such as your EHRs, probably also your email platforms.
Yes, please.
But yeah, MFA helps to mitigate the risk of access by unauthorized users. And although, this is me saying this, although it is still the best form of security for logins, it is still susceptible to risks.
Yes. It's not the be-all, end-all, but again, it just makes you faster than the other guy running from the bear.
That's right. As I like to say, when the criminals are shaking on your door handle and pulling on your windows, at least yours are, you know, somewhat locked and they'll go somebody else.
Yeah. So keeping that in mind, all of those things, if you're a medium or large organization, you need to make sure you have items, all of those already done, and then you add to that. And it's instill proper identity management. And identity management is different than user IDs. You could have a single identity with multiple logins to things. So this, you're taking it to the next level. but you use a one person, one identity, multiple context. So David could be 14 different people in all these different accounts, but we assign them to David. Doesn't keep up. He does that. So always better. Always ensure the consistent application of attributes, which in turn enables automated authentication and authorization by utilizing automated provisioning and deprovisioning. So if you are not a technical person and you work in a small practice, just know that's why we have the small, the small technical guide. And then established federated identity management. It enables identity information to be shared between organizations in a trusted manner. So, that being said, there is your 405D tip of the week. Da-da-da-da! Right. We've got to get a song or a rap.
Ah, there you go. The 405D rap.
There you go. We're going to get one. We're going to get one. Okay. We're done with all of our...
All you rappers out there.
Yeah. We're going to get one. We got a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, have you ever heard of the... I think they call it nerdcore.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's typically it's rap and things like that. That's about, you know, just nerdy topics. Most of it's cybersecurity or video games or things like that. It's pretty fun to listen to.
Yeah. Every now and then you're like, I like that. It's a beat. Yeah. You can dance to it.
Yeah. And it has a lot of training in it.
There you go. All right, then. Let's talk about PriceSec teams require everyone.
Yep. Or if you're from my neck of the woods, it's everyone.
Everybody. Everybody. So I was sitting in on the Health Sector Coordinating Council all hands meeting this past week.
All right.
And, you know, it really makes you step back because we're 405D under this same umbrella. We're a teeny icy part of this massive group of people, public-private partnerships, all of them that way, people that are volunteering their time and trying to make things better. That's when, you know, I get a reminder, hey, you know, we're so busy, it's hard for us to keep up with all these other projects that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the Health ISAC, Information Sharing...
An alert center.
There you go. Thank you, David.
Yep.
They published their current and emerging healthcare cyber threat landscape, which is where they do a survey on this wide swath, trying to hit, you know, different sizes, cyber people, non-cyber people, different types of providers across the industry, the health delivery organizations, that's the new word we're going to start using, HDO, it's just easier. But they did their survey, and it was so interesting to see. In some ways, it was interesting, and in other ways, not so much. You know, you feel like the priorities and our top concerns should change. You think that they will change because you get ahead of the game somewhere.
Right. Making progress, and so there's different issues to address now.
Yeah. They didn't change, David.
I was going to say, that's not the case. It's not the case.
Exact same list from 2021 to 2022, as far as this survey found.
Yeah.
But the top five, and it all kind of goes back to all the things we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Ransomware deployment, phishing, spear phishing, third-party partner breach. So 2021, they were worried about it, and it only got worse, you know, as the year went on. Data breach, just in general data breach, and then insider threats. And I thought it was very interesting that they made a point of saying, they did a little, here, we're not seeing that get any better, by the way, was basically what they said as a group. They made a statement about ransomware as a service, how that model is growing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a business model, and it makes it now, I mean, it's becoming the most common method You know, they have a policy and procedure along with all the other things, but this model makes it harder to figure out who's attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that a lot of times, if you know who's attacking you and what they're using, it helps you mitigate the attack. And this is what they had to say. We assess the RAS, not the SAS, but the RAS.
The RAS.
RAS. Ransomware as a service model will make cyber criminal gangs more agile, and their potential for exploiting publicly disclosed vulnerabilities will increase. And so what they're saying is, if somebody finds a vulnerability and they release it into the wild, so we're not talking about necessarily the good folks finding them. We're talking about anybody finding them. Mm-hmm. And they make it public, it's disclosed, their ability to use that against us, from the proof of concept that this is a problem to actually using it, will be 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
There's just so many of them.
Better hope it's not on a Friday.
Yeah. Heard that. So their final statement was, we assess that in 2022, cyber criminals will target critical systems to the operations of healthcare organizations as a means to force healthcare organizations to pay a ransom quickly and not allow time for investigations or forensics examination prior to paying the ransom demanded.
That's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, I need to get your money quickly.
Yeah, if I get your money, I'm going to reduce the time you have to do anything besides pay me.
Yeah. I'm trying to do that to my customers.
I don't want you to think about it. I just want you to pay me.
Yeah, I just need your money faster.
So, but I mean, really, do you hear people say we don't have to worry about ransomware? I know that from time to time I still see that or hear that somewhere.
The thing is, you got what they say and then you got what they do. And sometimes they'll say, oh, we're worried about ransomware. But then when you bring up, how are you addressing it? You know, so I don't know. Can you really say that you're, can you really say you're worried about it when you're not doing anything about it though?
Well, it goes back to the cyber survey, the SMB cyber survey we did a few episodes ago. You know, that is, it's so telling because they think they're worried about it, but they worry about it in the wrong way.
Yeah. It's, well, what it is, I think sometimes is they worry about it when you bring it up. So it's, oh, yeah, I am worried about that. And then 5 minutes later, like, no, what are you talking about? I don't know what ransomware is. It's, you know, it's when you think about it, you worry about it. But then when you stop thinking about it, you don't worry about it. So, right.
Yeah. So you look at these top five concerns. You got the ransomware. We all know you should be worried about it. But you should worry about it more than just a fleeting moment.
You should do something about it. How about that?
Yeah. And don't say, "Oh, we have a backup, so we're fine."
We got insurance. We ain't worried about it. We got insurance.
Insurance, backup. None of those things will solve your problem.
Mm-mm.
You have to assume this is going to happen and know how you'll react. But in healthcare, you also have to know how they got in, what they did while they were in there, what else are they going to do? And many of them now are stealing the data before they hit you with the encryption ransom. And we're going to see more and more of that.
So, but, Donna, you mean I can't just come in and nuke and pave a system and get the client back up and running when that happens? Rhetorical question.
There's nothing more stressful for me than somebody who says, well, IT said all we had to do was just, they would just wipe it and rebuild and we're good to go. That's not how it works anymore. That means IT is not up to date.
That means they've just destroyed all your evidence.
Mm-hmm. So that you know, and that means unless you've got some way to figure it out, you're going to need to notify every patient that could possibly have been involved because you can't tell who did what and where.
Plus your state attorneys general. Plus.
Yeah.
Plus.
Plus. Plus. And I tell you, the laws that are coming out, because we have to know things faster to be able to respond as a nation under a cyber attack.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if they're hitting a whole bunch of small ones and the small ones aren't telling anybody, by the time they've built up and now they're getting in, they use the small ones to get to the big ones.
Yeah. I had somebody come to me the other day and I said, David, how do you feel about the cyber war thing that we're now in? I'm like, what do you mean now in? We've been in a cyber war for years.
I know. We've been talking about it. We've called it a cyber war for years.
I know.
We'll have to go back and see the first time we said that. You know, we're in a cyber war.
I just laughed. I'm like, you just now got your head out of the sand. It's making some public, you know, getting some attention there. But, dude, this has been happening for a long time.
Yeah. All is changing. The only thing changes is the way it ebbs and flows as far as the attack surface they're using or what the gangs are doing. It's no. Yes. Yes and no. Okay. But if you look at that and you look at, and that only reiterates, you look at it along with the five top concerns we just talked about, and to me, the major reason is there's this baked-in belief that we all have. Privacy only means confidentiality, which Wrong. We just talked about, and that security is IT's problem.
Wrong.
So we just talked about them. And then I'm thinking about, let's do a thing on, because I've got the thing with my client that I just told you about. Then we got, it just worked out that we were doing access management. And then I see the health ISAC, that statement about ransomware, which was a little unnerving, even for people like me to have that reiteration. And then yesterday, I get the HC3. So you got the Healthcare Coordinating Council, Health Sector Coordinating Council, which has all of these arms underneath it. And then within HHS, you have the Health Sector Cybersecurity Coordination Center, HC3. And they send out alerts and a lot of information, threat briefings, those kind of things. Well, the threat briefing that just came out is insider threats in healthcare. And, you know, they make a point. I mean, there's some stuff in here that to me, I was like, okay, some of this is worse than it's changing in a way that is not good. But they did a really good job of laying it out, because so often when I talk to people about insider issues, they only see it as two cons. There's malicious and not malicious. But that's not it. There are actually three kinds. And there's the, you know, I call it the unintentional, which is that's the accident. You know, oops, cha-ching. Oops, followed by cha-ching is the accidental.
Right.
Their intent, they do not intend to do harm. They're just in a hurry. They don't feel good. Allergies are bothering them. The kids are driving them crazy. Something, right? They're mad at their job. Who knows? But they just don't pay attention one time. Oops. And you've got a problem. You got a ransomware attack. You got whatever. And then you have, okay, the malicious. They know what they're doing. They're making a decision to go, I am stealing this information. I am stealing it. Mm-hmm. And I know I am stealing it. That happens a gracious plenty. But the negligent is the one that is often the hardest one to deal with. Yeah. You know? They have made a decision to act, but not because they intended harm.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought it was the right thing to do. so-and-so's headed out the door and they didn't check something, so I'm going to let them use my computer for a minute. And so-and-so doesn't have access to the same stuff you do.
Yep.
You know? Or my favorite is to find somebody that's struggling to get in or out of a door, stop and help them, smile, be very friendly, and then they don't even, you know, they let you in.
Mm-hmm.
I do that a lot when I'm doing a site visit. I'm very, very kind and friendly. You know, I love the site visits where you're being really nice and they say, well, let me go check with somebody, and then walk away, logged into their computer, leaving you standing there with no one around. They made a decision to get up and leave. They did not take the time to log off, even though they know they're supposed to. And you've got somebody you don't even know standing next to the computer. So you've got to think of all three.
Yeah, and I think, too, the studies show that your negligent insiders are a vast majority of your threats.
Oh, yeah. It is hard to realize and get people to understand. And sometimes you'll have staff that'll claim it's an accident when it was actually negligent.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. The negligent piece is when you know to do right and you don't. How many times have we talked about the things that, look, the practice knows they should be doing better security awareness training. They know they shouldn't have all the users logging into one machine. They know that they should have better security. They just don't do it. All that's right. Negligence. Every bit of that's negligence. To know to do right and not do it is negligent.
Yes. There you go. Hit them with it. Over the head. So in this threat brief, which these threat briefs are great because it brings in all this data into one place, they said they were looking at the 2020 Insider Threats Report from the Poneman, which we look at. But we're usually looking at one report. They're bringing in a ton of different ones. 61% of data breaches involving an insider are primarily unintentional, but caused by negligent insiders.
Yep.
And it's lack of awareness about the security policies and a failure to provide security awareness training.
Mm-hmm.
And then this stat, the 27% of employees saw security policies less than once a year.
Yeah, that'll teach them.
Or not.
Yeah.
39% receive security awareness training less than once a year.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to create a culture of compliance and privacy and security around here. Read this document. Sign it. Then we'll see you again next year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. They're not even showing them to. And it's you know, if they wanted to look for them, they wouldn't know where to find them.
I mean, that's like me pulling out this old family recipe for how to make lasagna. And it's got all these ingredients and ways to do it. And I make it once a year and I'm supposed to remember it. I'm supposed to remember it all year long because I make it, you know, I look at that recipe one time a year and I'm supposed to remember how to do it.
Yeah. That ain't happening. And then that's a perfect analogy because that's what they're expecting. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, 6 months from now, we need you to make that lasagna dish. I don't remember the ingredients or how to do it. What do you mean you don't remember it? We showed it to you.
Not only do I want you to make it, but I want you to buy all of the ingredients from memory.
Yeah.
And do all of that there.
Yeah.
You know, and they hit on a lot of other things. And then I wanted to point out, because this, I guess now we really need to do an episode that is just about working from home. I think of that's coming up soon. Because they add on here, and this is one that gives me and you a rash. Alexa on while sensitive meetings are going on could cause sensitive data to be leaked.
What? Those things don't listen. Yeah, that is definitely a problem. And it's not just Alexa. There's more than just Alexa anymore. She's got friends.
She got friends. And they won't do any trash talking about each other either. It's funny to listen, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Alexa? What do you think of Siri? And I think AI is blah 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 blah. You know. That kind of stuff.
I know, it's because they're all going to get together and take over the world one day.
Yeah, that's probably it. So, you know, as they continue to go through in this threat briefing, you just get on their mailing list. It's great. You'll get these. And it's nice because these briefings give you slides, and on the slide it tells you whether it's technical information or normal people information. But I got to this one, and when I got there, I'm like, okay, the 2021 Insider Threat Report by Cybersecurity Insiders, which is one I haven't read, which is another reason this is great, is this is an area that we've mentioned and kind of gotten into, but not been able to show a lot of detail. And that is the external group compromises an insider, like convinces them to participate. And we just covered that in one of the cases we talked about where they got the people that were doing the fraud case and convinced the lady she got 25 cents per inquiry. You know, so you got this insider with access and they start participating with external actors.
Okay.
And that's even worse because the external actors, they aren't having to break in. You know, it's like somebody's letting them in.
Yep.
And letting them walk with them through all of your data. 82% of organizations can't even determine the actual damage that an insider attack has caused. So once you know you have one, you don't even know how bad it is.
Yeah. And for some of these small places, they don't even know they have one.
Mm-hmm.
I've told a person one time before, I said, you better hope you do get ransomware because that's the only way you're going to know something would happen.
I know, right? Yeah, because for the most part, they'll stay in there and do nothing for a long time and use you for a ton of stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
So the percentage of common types of insider damage.
Okay. Yeah.
Critical data loss, 40% of the time.
Ooh.
Operational outage disruption, 33% of the time.
Okay.
Brand damage, reputational damage, like we talked about. Like you just sent me the thing where Okta found out that it was not as bad as they thought, but it's too late now.
Yeah. I mean, they give this thing a 26%, but honestly, I don't know, man. I'm thinking more like 90%.
Well, but remember, 82% of the time, we don't even know.
Yeah, but 90%, 100% of the time of the 18% of the time that we know it.
We're going to get in the loop here. But yeah, I mean, when we do know it, they have been able to 26% of the time identify brand damage. But I can assure you that is, as David said, probably higher.
Yeah. Is brain damage on there too?
Because your head exploded. Yeah, that one. The legal liabilities, 21%. Now, again, this is not just over healthcare, too. So it goes up when you look at somebody that's a company that's healthcare, financial, cybersecurity, like Okta, and those kind of things. So the damage goes up based on the kind of business you are incrementally. And expenses on remediating the intrusions, that's big damage. And then competitive loss, those are 19 and 17%. This is what I take people through to say, look, you need to understand that it's not about restoring your backups. When you're trying to figure out what you're going to need everybody to do, this is why everybody has to participate. Because if I don't have everybody participating, I'm not going to know these things are happening.
Yep.
And this, I have to tell you, is one where these, you know, I often talk about them being the one-offs kind of thing. And those are the ones we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't make the news because it was one patient affected.
Right.
To them, they still had boom. You know, they still suffered the boom. But because it was just them, you don't necessarily hear about it. And that is privilege misuse.
Yep.
And for the Verizon 2021 data breach report, 80% of the time, privilege misuse was financially motivated. And I can tell you that the other 20% is because somebody broke up with somebody, somebody's in a, you know, somebody made somebody mad. It's, I went to church with them and I just wanted to know. I mean, it's a million other little things, but they're almost always personal.
Yeah. So when your employee comes rolling up in that new $90,000 card, you're like, wait a minute, how do they afford that?
better get to looking.
Start checking things out.
Yeah. And, you know, used to, you just had to worry about, you know, you always had to worry about the accountant, the person in charge of the money.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen cases before where the administrator, I know of one in particular where they set up a family member as an employee and paid them.
Mm.
But they weren't an employee. But when you got a ton of employees, you don't notice.
Yep.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying. So you used to have to worry about that.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, who am I going to give access to the checkbook? Well, now you don't have to. The data is worth more than your checkbook.
Exactly. It is the most valuable thing we have. So the question comes down to when the privilege misuse, they documented 265 incidents just in the data breach survey. 265 documented there. And we know a lot of times you don't even know this is going on. So there's a big reason to monitor the activity of what everybody's doing. And they point out here, disgruntled employees can be a significant threat because of the access you give them, which goes back to access management. Don't give people access to everything unless they really need it.
That's right. So if your employees aren't happy to be there, fire them.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because they act out of emotion with an intent to cause harm.
Yeah, it's like, I'll show him. You know, or, oh, he won't give me a raise, but he goes out and buy a new car. All right. Let me do this.
You owe me.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going to pay me that overtime? Okay.
If you've got that kind of an emotional response going on, people act out of emotion. And they're either going to sabotage you. Remember, availability and integrity. They're going to steal the data, which is confidentiality. And then even worse, they're going to take the confidentiality and use it for fraud or make it look like you're committing fraud.
That's right.
This is not good.
You are the weakest link. Bye-bye.
Right. So it does in the threat brief, though, give you, I thought it was really cool, the indicators of malicious insiders.
Okay.
Where you can, you know, you got the red flags of nefarious activity. Because I got to say nefarious, we had to cover this section. So there's behavioral indicators, there's indicators of IT sabotage, and indicators of data theft. And to me, just like we talked about, it's the behavioral ones that even a small environment would notice the behavioral ones before anything else, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So here are the behavioral indicators. Official records of security violations or crimes. We know you're not following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets back to, well, I don't want to fire anybody. Well, guess what?
She's been here for forever.
Yeah. I don't want to fire anybody. But you know what? They've been violating the rules the whole time. And as long as you got that person violating the rules, nobody else will think the rules matter.
Or as one practice manager said, how do I fire the owner?
Yeah, there is that issue. Right. Yeah. I think about, you know, violating policy so that I could be suspended for a week, but
yeah. No luck.
Nobody will let me give myself that punishment. Cases of unprofessional behavior.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't misbehave. right?
Mm-hmm.
Cases of bullying other employees.
Okay.
Personality conflicts. There's a good one. Misuse of travel, time, or expenses.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to steal in one area, why not steal in the other?
Mm-hmm. And then conflicts with coworkers or supervisors.
Yep. Can't get along. In other words, like I said, if they ain't smiling and happy all the time, you need to get rid of them.
Well, and be careful, because some of them could be smiling and happy and all the time because they're making so much money on the back end, right? Yeah, right. I'm very happy with my J-O-B. I came here to do this.
That's right. The doctor don't realize he's my sugar daddy.
There is that. See, I thought those were interesting, especially knowing as a small business, you know, I worked in small business my whole life, except for that brief stint when I was in a roll-up. And I can't begin to tell you how many times I encountered that list of things. But this gives you a whole new reason to do something about it.
Yep.
So there you go. Now, David, I want you to just share, because this indicators of IT sabotage, when I read that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this. Did you think about what an MSP could do to all of a disgruntled employee at an MSP?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've already seen cases where that's happened. A disgruntled, you know, IT person mm-hmm. working at an MSP causes a problem. But I'm telling you, if I caught anybody doing this in my firm, they're done. Fired immediately. They are. Number one, creating a backdoor account. You're mm-hmm. fired. Number two, changing all the passwords so nobody else can access the data. You're fired. Number three, disabling system logs. Yeah, you're fired. Installing remote network administration tools. You're fired. I've almost fired clients for doing that.
Yeah.
installing malware. Yeah, you're fired. Accessing systems or machines of other employees. Now, we have to do that for remote support,
yeah.
But you better have a dang good reason that you're remotely accessing an employee or somebody else's system. You better have a dang good reason.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a lot of checks and balances in place and logs to look at all that kind of stuff. And we have it set up to where, even if we're doing remote support for a client, if we need to install something, we have to ask for escalated privilege to do that. Even every single technician, including myself, mm-hmm. have to ask for it. And when I ask for it, it notifies the entire team that this request just came through. And so everybody knows what I just asked to be installed on either, whether it's my computer or a client's computer. And so we have that oversight that's happening, and nobody has just complete admin access, and all that stuff gets logged. And so we see it. So if 2 o'clock in the morning, some technician decides they're going to log into a computer and install something, there's no way they can do it without everybody knowing.
So does that mean everyone's on the PriceSec team, David?
Everybody is on the PriceSec team. And guess what? The owners of the business aren't exempt either.
There you go, brother. Get it. Look at you. Sitting up tall, acting like stuff. There
yeah, it's go. Funny. It's funny when my technicians say, "Do I need to improve this thing you need to install?" I'm like, "Yes."
Yeah, I need you to do that.
Yeah, but yeah.
And I will tell you that this indicators of data theft. So here you go, massive downloading of corporate data, and you know yeah. we had Ray on not too long ago, mm-hmm. and. Their system Sphere has caught that more than once. When you find out an employee is leaving and they try to secretly download the, and that happens all the time.
Well, here's another thing to understand about this, because I've had people, clients ask me about this on a number of occasions. And here's how this happens. They call me and they say, "We need to find out if an employee has done XYZ. And I'm like, you can't do that after they've done it. You need mm-hmm. to have things in place beforehand
yeah.
to catch stuff like that. Remember when we had that conversation last year and you said, we don't need that? That's what that does.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, you can't, yeah. You know, you have to, it's one of those things where people are like, well, I don't see where I need to be able to track massive downloading of corporate data. I don't understand where that would be a thing. And then a year later, when somebody's deciding to leave and start their own firm, you're like, wait a minute. I think they might have stole some stuff.
Yeah, you think? Or patients complain because they're suddenly getting a letter from a doctor who's gone off and started their own practice.
Mm.
That happens a lot.
Preach it, sister, preach it.
So you've got that, and then sending sensitive data to a non-corporate address. How many times do we catch those of the DLP or something catches, like, why is this going to a Gmail account?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just had recently at one of my client sites, in the middle of like a review, boom, one pops in and just happened to be like at that moment that a review was going on, one pops in. And it's like, why would that person send patient a spreadsheet with patient information to their Gmail account? So you call them up and she's like, no, the only thing I sent to my Gmail account was a recipe.
Yeah, recipe for disaster.
Yeah, well, when you link that recipe, you also accidentally linked the other attachment that you had been working on, which was probably on your recent list, and had no intention of doing it. I mean, it was pretty obvious they were like freaking out when somebody shows them, look, here it is.
Yeah, I had a very similar thing happen a few years ago, and the employee was confronted and she said, I needed to be able to work from home. And my boss lady kept telling me, you're not able to work from home. You can't work from home. And she's like, I can work from home. See, I just need to send the data to me. And I'm like, I don't think she was saying it's not possible to do. I think she was saying you shouldn't do it. So just because you say you can't do it, mm-hmm. I remember one time I told one of my kids something. I said, it's not a good idea to do that, which most people would say, don't do it. My kid did it anyway. And I'm like, did I not just tell you that wouldn't be a good idea? He said, but you didn't tell me no. You just said it wouldn't be a good idea. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's your offspring, dude. That's you. That's on you. I know.
So your employees don't say, you know, it wouldn't be a good idea to, you know, install remote access tools on your computer. Don't say that because they'll say, well, you just said it wasn't a good idea. You didn't say I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what, when you write a policy that says you should do this, no, I say you will do this. I make people change it, you know, in hours. Every now and then we'll still find one. Should is not what a policy is.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then just because, to get to the end here, extensive use are sending emails with heavy attachments to non-corporate. So it's not detecting it as sensitive information, but it's big attachments. So what's up in there? And then extensive use of printers. OMG. How do people not notice that somebody's printing out thousands of pages all of a sudden? You know, and then remotely accessing a server during non-work hours, which goes back to Sphere, which also catches that stuff and the things that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kinds of things that you should look at and know that you're not just looking for confidentiality. You're looking for integrity and availability. So the sabotage thing comes into play. It is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially with healthcare, it's so easy to do fraud and all these other things. I mean, come on.
Yep.
And one final thing that while, you know, I'm a proponent for small business, especially moving to the cloud, and certainly the pandemic has put us in a position where everybody's moved to the cloud a lot. The cloud makes it harder to detect insider issues.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there was
wait a minute, I got a word for it. It's exacerbating.
Ooh, big word day. Big word day. But there were notes from the Verona's 2021 Healthcare Data Risk Report where they looked at 3 billion files from 58 companies. So a little bit of data.
Yeah.
and their results showed that every employee had access to 20% of the files.
Ooh.
31,000 sensitive healthcare files were open to everyone. More than 1 in 10 sensitive files are open to every employee. 77% of companies have 500 or more accounts with passwords that do not expire. Let's just let that one sit for a minute.
No kidding.
And then the cloud, you know, making it harder. And a couple of examples. October 2021, a major U.S. pharmaceutical company, quote unquote, launched an investigation after an employee downloaded 12,000 confidential files on a cloud system before leaving to work for their competitor.
Mm.
A Texas hospital employee filmed himself infiltrating the hospital network and creating a back door in an HVAC unit that could impact medicine and patients if the system shut down.
It's called proof of concept.
There you go. Let me film this and show you how to go do it.
Oh, my gosh.
So no matter how you look at this, you have to see it as something that, it, you know, if you don't have everybody participating, you will never catch that person. You mm-hmm. have to have the tech, you know, people, processes, and technology.
Yep.
And you need yep. all of that to catch all three of those cases. And it's becoming the predominant thing to worry about.
Yep.
So get everybody on board, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of our first episodes, which is almost 7 years ago now, pretty close to wow. 7 years ago. Yeah. May. This is May. So 7 years ago. Can't believe I'm still doing it.
It's last almost as long as my first marriage.
I know, right? Your work wife's still here. Don't know why. But the big thing is you've got to educate people. You've got to have everybody involved or you don't have a fighting chance.
Yep.
That's just the world we live in now. And they do give for critical infrastructure industries, CISA has free cybersecurity services and tools available. 405D just did a webinar on it, and we'll put the information about the webinar recording in the show notes. You can go check it out. It's another 405TT. Almost made it. It's another 405D tip of the week to end with. So there That's you go.
Right. All right. So everybody get out there and create your Prosec dream team. That's right.
Start by sending them to
ProsecBootcamp.com.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. Be there or be square. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. That is our show for today. Be sure to share this out. Like we've said before, just give us away to everybody. Just send it. Send it to somebody. Surely you know somebody who needs it.
none but trouble here. None but trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Thanks for helping us spread the word. And as always, remember for Donna and myself, HIPAA and PROSEC is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grindle and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grindle or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.